The good news of Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Christ.
At that time, there were some present who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. He asked them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were worse sinners than all other Galileans? No, I tell you, but because you repent, you will all perish. Unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all others living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish just as they did." Then he told them this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in the vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" He replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." The Gospel of Christ. So, if you think you are standing, watch out that you do not fall. No testing has overtaken you that is not common to everyone. Words from Paul to the church in Davenport. Amen. What is the meaning of life? I wanted to start kind of easy. In a time of uncertainty and instability, questions like this one fade to so many back burners to allow us to try and stabilize a rocking boat. What is the meaning of life? Lent, however, is a time that throws us out of the boat and forces us to consider this question and others, as they are the most significant questions humanity must answer. Given that most of us in this room have discovered just how short life is, how do we find meaning in our life as we look back? And what can we do to have an impact in this world that will not fade quickly after we die? Jesus approaches this subject in today's gospel in a novel way. First, that first paragraph where Jesus is talking about the Galileans whose blood Pilate mingled with their sacrifices. We don't know much about this story. Just like we don't know about the 23,000 people Paul is talking about in the letter to the church in Corinth that died because of their sexual immorality. But Jesus says, do you think that these people were worse Galileans than all of the others? Only thing we know is that these people died and that their blood was mixed with the blood of animals that was then sacrificed at the behest of Pilate. What a horrible indignity. These people, perhaps innocent, neither Jesus nor the crowd to whom he was speaking could say anything more about any individual who suffered that indignity. They were all anonymous victims of a bloody system of governance. And then what about the 18 people who died when the Tower of Siloam fell over on them? Again, we don't know much about that. What we do know is they were victims of circumstance. Jesus and the crowd knew nothing more of them, just anonymous victims. And then Jesus says, unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. What does repent mean to you in that circumstance? What does repentance include? Does repentance save you from the eternal cruel hands of time or injustice? Is giving up chocolate or alcohol for 40 days the kind of repentance Jesus is asking for today? If that were so, many more people would be spared from the deadly hands of circumstance or injustice. Does repentance mean confessing to God that you are sorry for sinful things that you have done? Would that save us from death? Again, if only that were so. Whether these incidents of unfair and untimely deaths are acts of God or are punishments for the people who endured them, Jesus does not say. But he does answer the question, how can I find and create meaning for my life and increase its impact after I have gone? You saw these two paragraphs as written in the bulletin. The first about these people that died unceremoniously, and then the second paragraph where Jesus gives a parable. The first paragraph is talking about the meaninglessness of death, and about this, and the second about the fig tree. They're actually one piece. They're together. As we've just seen, the first paragraph sets up the question, what is the meaning of life if it's so short and cut short with injustice or circumstance? The second paragraph answers the question, where is God in this parable? There are possibilities for us to consider where God is in this parable of the fig tree. The first is God the vineyard owner who spots us not bearing fruit, and then gives the order to cut us down? How does that feel? Does it portray God in a comforting, loving way for you? Are we the fig tree? What does bearing fruit mean in a metaphorical way? What does it mean for us to bear fruit? Is Jesus the gardener who intercedes on our behalf, who does the digging and the shoveling of manure, the same gardener who, if we don't bear fruit in 365 days, says, go ahead, cut them down? Is this your notion of who Jesus is? The one who reaches out to the lost and forsaken, the possessed, and even the dead? What is repentance in this story? Please note that both the vineyard owner and the gardener must undergo a change for anything to happen in this story. The first They must change how they see things. The vineyard owner must change her view of the tree from one that is already worthless to one that has potential. And the gardener must change her view of the tree from one that she can ignore to one that needs a lot of attention and some work. They both, vineyard owner and gardener, must adopt a vision of the tree that extends beyond their existence, beyond their experience, to see that it's more than just about me and how that fruitless tree exists for my pleasure. Repentance may mean changing the way we see things. Change how we see things as objects meant for our pleasure. And maybe repentance may be about reconsidering our thoughts about those things. You know, we rarely stop to consider that what we see, what we think, what we've come to believe may be entirely subjective. We never stop to consider that things as we see them may be distorted or outdated or even wrong. Repentance may mean renegotiating with the conclusions we've made over our lifetime and allow new thoughts to develop in our lives and let those thoughts become behaviors. If changing how we see things is what repentance may be about, then this passage about the fig tree makes a lot of sense to me. Look for God in this parable. We'll need to change the way we see things. What character in this story about the fig tree is the most, or most closely reflects the gracious, abundant, loving, caring God that Jesus teaches about? Not the vineyard owner who wants to cut down the tree, or the gardener who times his treatment with a calendar. The gracious, loving, giving, nurturing character in this story is the manure giving to us grace that we might become bearers of fruit, giving us nutrition and nurture to our spiritual lives that we will have something to share with others. God, who provides care by rooting us in the nature of God, in the truth that being rooted in God is to be rooted in love. Standing firmly in the rich loam of God's love, we can change the way we see things. We can challenge our beliefs and open the door to love. Once that door of change perspective is open, it simultaneously opens a door to new behaviors for us. So, standing in that rich soil of love, we will no longer see immigrants as burdens to society, but we will welcome them as victims of injustice who cry out only for an outstretched hand. We will no longer judge people who don't look like what we see in the mirror as different, but we will embrace them as extensions of what it means to be part of a diverse humanity. Standing in love, we cannot see borders anymore. But we will resist the fabrications of any system that dares to create us and them. Standing in love, we will no longer separate those in the LGBTQ community, but we will engage our curiosity about how God's love being is much broader than we had thought. Standing together in love, We no longer see disagreement and bitterness between us because we share in bread and a common cup that envelops our souls with forgiveness and welcome. Never thinking that God could be revealed in a burning bush, Moses had to ask, "Who are you? What deeds shall I say that you have done that prove you care for us?" Those who choose to do so jump into the rich manure of Lent with both feet to answer these same questions for ourselves. Amen.